Birth is unpredictable. Why plan? People sometimes say, birth is unpredictable, so don't plan in case you get disappointed. If that were true, would anyone ever make a plan for anything? We generally don't think, well, I better not plan for that just in case I get disappointed if it doesn't work out. We have wedding plans, business plans, holiday plans, and some of us have 5-year plans. So why not plan and properly prepare for birth too? You are a strong woman. You know your own body and your mind. So let's make a plan for how you would like your birth to go. And yes, it should be called a plan. Some people are now recommending we ditch the word plan and use preference instead. But you won't hear any other leader saying, our preference is to ensure we build 100 schools by 2025. They would say exactly what they plan for, even if they are not sure they will achieve it. As you are the leader and make the final decisions, it is important that you own it and have a plan. It is true that birth is unpredictable, but that doesn't mean you have no control over what happens. It doesn't mean that you don't need to know about your options or just go with the flow. And it doesn't mean that when one thing doesn't go according to plan, it all has to go out the window. You can have plans A, B, and C ready to go. We will never be able to control uncertainty, so we might as well plan to work with that. And part of planning the unpredictable is knowing what your options are. This section will explain how to do just that, and a bit about what all birth plans should have. Making your birth plan. Understanding how birth works, knowing what you want, and letting those caring for you also know what you want, leads to a more positive birth experience. The only way to be in control is by knowing what you want. That said, you shouldn't ignore a recommendation you are given by your healthcare professional. It is important to weigh it all up. A visual birth plan. You can now make a visual birth plan that uses pictures rather than words. Little visuals give everyone more information quickly, which is especially helpful when women are in the zone or labour is advancing quickly. It can help your midwife too, as they are quicker to check. Making a plan is typically done at your 36-week appointment, but check with your midwife when you need to make a plan. Ideally, your birth partner should be with you when you do your birth plan, and should also go through it with your midwife. Having your birth partner there is important because it allows them to be a true advocate for you. Most of the time, I communicate more with the birth partner than I do with the woman in labour. Women in established labour don't usually want to have a conversation, but there may be some additional questions I need to ask. It's like a breath of fresh air when the birth partner can give such important information. The birth partner and I can really work as a little team together. It's a much better experience for everyone. Birth plans themselves vary massively, from home water birth to a planned C-section. Whatever you plan, there are key things you need to consider. Where do you want to give birth? By 36 weeks, your pregnancy is usually progressed enough for you and your midwife to decide where it is safest for you to give birth. The options are usually at home. This is suitable for low-risk pregnancies and particularly suitable for women who have had a baby before with no complications. You'll need to hire a pool if you want a water birth. In a standalone midwifery-led unit. This is a unit in its own right that is not attached to a hospital. A team of midwives will provide all the care a woman and her baby need. Birth pools are usually provided. If a transfer to hospital is needed, then an ambulance will be required, even though most transfers are not emergencies. A midwifery-led unit in hospital. These are usually attached to a labour ward or very close by. If a transfer to the hospital labour ward is needed, it's a case of being wheeled across. Birth pools are usually provided. Labour ward or delivery suite in hospital. Most suitable for women with medical conditions or pregnancy complications. The labour ward is also the only place an epidural can be done. Your midwife will use evidence-based information to help you choose what is most suitable for you and your baby. I have been at some incredibly beautiful, calm home births. Being in the comfort of your own home can have such a positive impact on not only the natural workings of your body, but also your experience of labour and birth. The first few hours after birth are so undisturbed and peaceful. Helping a woman into her own bed with a cuppa after having a baby is priceless. There's no place like home. Dorothy, the Wizard of Oz. In the UK, many women safely opt for a home birth, and we are ever so lucky to have access to medical care should we need it. Experienced midwives are very good at preventing and managing change or deviation from the norm. When things go wrong, they usually do so slowly, leaving us time to get extra help or transfer into hospital. The best evidence we have shows that home birth for healthy, low-risk women overall means less intervention and better outcomes for both first-time mums and for women that have had babies before. Home birth appears to be safer for all low-risk women. If this is your first baby, there is some evidence to show that home birth is less safe for babies though, as there is a very small increase in adverse outcome of babies of first-time mothers. A midwifery-led unit is the next best option, because the rate of intervention is lower and the outcome for the baby is no different compared with an obstetric unit, labour ward. These points outline some of the common conditions that increase risk and lead to women being advised against a home birth. If your body mass index, BMI, is greater than 35, if your baby is not cephalic, head down. If your baby is small for gestational age. If you go into labour before 37 weeks. If you have developed a condition in pregnancy, such as preeclampsia, gestational diabetes, or high blood pressure. If you have had episodes of bleeding in pregnancy. If you have had a caesarean section before. If you have a long-standing medical condition. If you are having twins or more. It is worth saying that if you are aged over 35, the age of recommended individual assessment as stated by NICE, there is no suggestion that all women over 35 should be advised against a home birth. So, if you are 37 years old, very healthy, exercise, have no medical conditions, no complications during pregnancy, and have easy access to a hospital, then home birth is likely to be as safe as it is for a 35-year-old. You need to look at the whole picture rather than one risk factor. If you have been advised against a home birth, but you think it should still be an option for you, then you need to request to talk to the midwifery matron or the head of midwifery at your hospital about your individual options and what is safest and best for both you and your baby. It is important to openly discuss your options, your personal risks, and benefits each step of the way, so you feel comfortable with what you're doing and why. You never want to feel as though you are being forced to go somewhere or have had an opportunity taken away from you. Your planned place of birth should be a shared decision based on your personal circumstances and the latest evidence, so that you have your baby in the safest possible place and feel happy about that. Who should you bring with you? You need to decide who your birth tribe will be. If you are on the labour ward or at a midwifery-led unit, it is usually recommended that you have a maximum of two birth partners. If you have a home birth, you can have whoever you like, as long as it is safe and easy to move around. Write their names on your birth plan. It is so helpful for midwives when women name those that are with them in their birth plan. Knowing who it is gives you a better connection. Is it Andy? It's so much more welcoming than, sorry, I didn't catch your name, if you've not met before. Your birth partner has an extremely important role in helping, supporting, and caring for you. So tell them exactly what is important to you at your birth and go through the birth plan with them if you've not done so already. It is also helpful for us to know whether or not you mind having students at your birth, so put that on your plan too. That way we don't need to interrupt your labour to ask. What about pain relief medication? No matter where or how you labour and birth, there will be pain relief options. At home or in a midwifery-led unit, generally you can have most of what we offer in hospital, other than an epidural. There are many forms of pain management that are drug-free, such as natural pain relief released by the body when you're in the zone, hydrotherapy, aromatherapy, using a birthing ball, TENS machine, massage, breathing exercises, hypnobirthing, mental reframing, support from your tribe and midwife, environment and visualizations, etc. And most of these work best if you've been practicing during pregnancy. We will go into your birthing body and create a unique toolkit for you in the next section. A lot of women ask what medication they can have and what each do. So I have created a list. The medication for pain relief varies between hospitals, but to give you an idea, most hospitals offer these, starting with the least invasive. Oral analgesia. These include paracetamol, dihydrocodone or sometimes oral morphine. These take around 20 minutes to kick in and wear off after 4 to 6 hours, depending on the dose given and how quickly your body metabolises it. Opioids cross the placenta, so your baby does receive a small amount of this drug. Gas and air, also known as Entonox, or by the nickname, laughing gas. And I've had some serious laughs with women using this. One night shift, I'll never forget it, a woman had me in stitches. We were both howling with laughter and seeing the funny side to everything. Her husband came back from the car like, "What the hell is going on with you two?" We'd lost it and I wasn't even using the gas, obvs. The gas is inhaled and is quickly metabolised, so works pretty much instantly. It is usually used later on in labour and is not recommended before you're in established labour. It is not believed to cross the placenta, so your baby doesn't receive any. The downside is that it can cause nausea and/or vomiting, especially if used for long periods of time. The good news is that it is very short-lasting, so any side effects wear off quickly. Injection. This is usually pethidine, which is opioid-based. An injection takes about 20 minutes to start working. Usually you can have two doses prescribed by a midwife, and generally the third dose needs to be prescribed by a doctor. But hospital protocols vary. You can have the injections 2 to 3 hours apart. These medications can often make women vomit or feel sick, so we offer an anti-sickness medication with the injection. You may feel spaced out and even get some sleep after having pethidine. I have seen it work wonders for some women and not work at all for others. Some midwives say they think it works best in the latent phase. That's less than 4 centimetres dilated and contracting irregularly, because it can relax you at this time. It does cross the placenta and is safest when given more than 2 hours before birth. If your baby is born within 2 hours of the injection, it can cause your baby to be a little sleepy at birth and be slow to feed, so it's best to have the pethidine earlier on to reduce the risk of a sleepy baby. Epidural. This is when a needle is used to insert a small plastic tube called an epidural catheter between the bones of your back. The needle is removed and the catheter stays in that space. Anesthetic medication is then administered via this catheter. An epidural can only be done by an anesthetic doctor in a hospital setting. Most NHS hospitals do not have walking epidurals yet, so you will most likely need to be on a bed. That doesn't mean you have to sit on your back the whole time. Because an epidural has side effects, such as a drop in blood pressure, you'll need to be cannulated. Have a little tube in a hand vein via a needle for fluids to be given. All hospitals recommend monitoring of your baby's heartbeat after an epidural, because drugs from the epidural can affect babies and occasionally they get distressed, show a change in heart rate. This is most common when you have the first dose of the epidural. Even though the heartbeat usually returns to normal very quickly, it is important to monitor. Do I need to plan for the cord and placenta? Your baby is connected to you via the cord and placenta, so you need to think about these when making your birth plan. First up, the cord. Delaying clamping and cutting the cord by a minimum of 1 minute after birth is recommended. This gives your baby up to 30% more oxygen, iron, and nutrient-rich blood compared to immediate clamping and cutting. Delayed cord clamping is generally standard practice now, but it's still worth putting this in your birth plan alongside who you want to do this life-changing deed. Cutting the cord marks the moment your baby becomes independent from you. You, your birth partner, or your midwife can cut the cord. Then you need to think about your placenta. As you know, it is a very special and unique organ. The main things you need to consider about it are: 1. Do you want an injection to help deliver your placenta? We refer to delivering the placenta as the third stage of labour. An injection to encourage the placenta to come out will be offered to you, whether you are at risk of bleeding or not. If you are at an increased risk, your midwife will explain why this is recommended. The injection can reduce initial blood loss and speed the delivery of the placenta. However, it can make you feel nauseous, especially if you've had an otherwise drug-free birth. The other option is to have a physiological third stage, where you let your body do it naturally and have drugs if you need them. Putting the baby on your breast and having a wee are also natural ways of encouraging the placenta to come out. 2. What do you want to do with your placenta? This may seem a strange question, and you may not want to do anything with it. But to give you some ideas, are you keeping it, burying it, encapsulating it? It's up to you what you do, but bear in mind, there are currently no evidence-based benefits of consuming your placenta. The Society of Obstetrics and Gynecologists, Canada, reported encapsulating or eating it could cause harm to mothers due to the potential for cross-contamination and transfer of blood-borne pathogens. A virus or bacteria that can make you ill if the placenta is not handled or stored correctly. Although iron, oxytocin, and progesterone are found in the placenta, their maintenance and stability in preparation, as well as their effects after consumption on the postpartum woman, have not been properly tested yet. And 3. Do you want to see your placenta or not? Personally, I think the veins leading to the cord on your baby's side are worth seeing. They look a bit like roots to a tree and are smooth in texture. And seeing this leaves you able to picture how your baby was kept alive inside you, and also how big the wound inside you is as the placentas come away from the lining of your uterus. The initial blood loss you are getting usually comes from where the placenta has been. But not everyone agrees with me on the importance of seeing the placenta. Some people are a little more squeamish and don't want to see it. It's always your choice. The pause. Immediately once you have given birth to your baby, there comes what is called the pause. The birth pause is rarely talked about, so for all of the information you need, we'll cover that later on in this book. For the purpose of your birth plan, you need to have a think about the moment you meet your baby. Some women like to leave their baby where they land, so to speak. This might be just underneath you on a bed, or in the arms of a midwife. It is not at all uncommon to not want to hold your baby right away. Pausing for a minute is instinctive, and most women just need a minute or so to go from pushing power to stopping to then slowly meeting their baby. Something incredibly powerful just happened and has permanently changed your life, so it's only natural that you may need to catch your breath first. What's vitamin K? In the UK, vitamin K is recommended as an injection to all newborns at birth because it is most effective when administered now. An alternative is oral drops, generally 4 doses over 1 week or 1 month. But this varies. some babies develop a rare and unpredictable disorder called vitamin K deficiency bleeding, VKDB. And babies affected can bleed from various places, but most concerning, they can get a brain hemorrhage as a result of this condition. VKDB can therefore lead to brain damage and, in very rare cases, death. We can't predict what babies will suffer with VKDB, which is why all babies are offered vitamin K as a preventative measure. What if I need a C-section? This may sound like really odd advice, especially if you are planning a natural birth. But you do need to consider cesarean sections on your birth plan. A C-section can be life-saving surgery, and I want to be 100% honest with you. Some babies become distressed during labour, or things change, and a C-section is what's needed to keep you and/or your baby safe. There are many things you can do to optimise your environment, stay active, and manage pain. And there are positions that you can get into to help speed your labour up and help your baby come through your pelvis with ease. I don't doubt any of your body's natural abilities. However, knowledge is power. You don't need to fixate on the possibility of having a C-section, but understanding the basics makes it less scary and far easier to accept at the time. Here is what usually happens. You'll be seen by an anaesthetist who will run through some standard questions with you and recommend that you have a cannula in your hand to get access to your vein for medication and fluids if needed. The anaesthetist's main job is to make sure that you are comfortable during the procedure, and they will put in sight and administer the spinal. If you have already had an epidural, sometimes they can manage with this. The anaesthetist will be mostly with you at the head end, so you'll see a lot of their face. Only one other person is able to come into theatre with you, so have a think about who you might want if you have more than one birth partner. Your midwife will be with you too. The theatre team can look quite daunting, as there can be around 7 people, but they all have their special jobs. It's normal to have a theatre team for any operation. You'll need a catheter to collect your wee, as you won't be mobile. Since there can be a lot of people in theatre, you can request for other staff to be at the head end. They don't need to observe you having a catheter put in. Usually the midwife will do this for you, so if you feel more comfortable, you can ask her to direct the room for you. It is important that you are at the centre of your care, and these very simple things matter because they protect your dignity. If you don't care, that is also fine, but you don't need to leave your dignity at the door. I don't care what anyone says. Yes, your most private and intimate parts may be exposed, but you don't have to become powerless and exposed unnecessarily. In a true emergency, everyone will need to focus on getting the best outcome and work at a faster pace. But unless this is the case, we can all work to ensure that you and your body are respected and treated with dignity throughout. The obstetrician will be the person doing your C-section, and if you have any requests, put this on your birth plan. For example, you can ask for the drape between your head and your tummy to be lowered so you can see as the doctor slowly delivers your baby with gentle pressure. Sometimes we call this a woman-centred or gentle C-section. You can also put on your plan that you want the monitors on your back or side rather than your chest, so you can have skin-to-skin contact with your baby as soon as possible. And if you aren't feeling up to it, your birth partner can. It is the obstetrician who can facilitate this. Of course, if your baby needs to be born very quickly or be seen by a paediatrician, you won't want to put yourself or your baby in danger. And some of these options may not be possible, but most of the time they are. And it is important to put on your plan what you want. Once you have had your baby, you'll be taken to a recovery room where a midwife or nurse will be with you, do your observations for a bit and check you over a few times. If you want to breastfeed and you haven't yet, then you should try to feed your baby as soon as possible. Sometimes that is still in theatre. The midwife can help you do this and recommend good positions for you as you will want to avoid any pressure on your tummy. Depending on how you are feeling, after an hour or so, you should be offered some tea and toast. A bliss moment. If your baby needs to go to special care, please don't think you can't do all the things you planned for right away. You can have postponed skin-to-skin, cuddles and kisses. It is just as precious and important that you still do these things and don't consider them to be lost. Heidi, who had a C-section, says, I would just like every belly birth mum to know that she can have a birth that she can be in control of. Of course, it's dependent on the level of emergency, but it can still be a positive experience. Some women honestly don't know that the drape can be lowered or that the partner can cut the cord. With both births, I had a belly birth plan, so that in that occasion, the team know what points are important to you. Assisted birth. There are other possibilities that you may be offered, such as a forceps or ventouse, where an obstetrician will help your baby be born. Forceps are metal tongs that look like salad servers, and ventouse is a little cap placed on your baby's head that creates a suction to guide your baby out. These are most commonly recommended when your baby is low down in your pelvis and is able to be born vaginally, but when there is a need to speed up the birth. They are used if your baby has become distressed, you have become tired from pushing, or are unable to push, or your baby is in a difficult position. Most of the time, the doctor will need to do an episiotomy, a small cut at an angle to your perineum to create more room. This will then be sutured, stitched, after birth. Although these may sound a bit scary, some women say that they gained great relief from this help and would have it again. Other women don't have such a positive experience as there is an increased risk of perineal trauma and incontinence after birth. For this reason, some women put in their birth plan that they would prefer a C-section to an assisted birth. It is good to have a think about this, but perhaps assess at the time. Some assisted births are more gentle and calm, and others can be more difficult depending on the unique situation. No matter what happens, always remember and refer back to your brain tool. Ask questions and stick as closely as possible to the other plans you have. Planning for the birth. Ultimately, your birth should contain all of these elements. If you plan for them now and understand what they are, then you are doing all you can to make them happen. Preparation and understanding. A safe, caring environment. A supportive birth partner. Professional, unbiased support. You in control. Use of breathing and relaxation techniques. Trust in those caring for you. Options and alternatives. Informed choice and shared decision making. Protected time for you and your baby. Delayed cord clamping. And skin to skin at the earliest time possible. Remember that your birth plan can change at any time, and having a plan A, B, and C allows you to be open and flexible to changing your mind at any time. You will make the best choice for you at the time. Try to let go of right and wrong as you make these decisions. Until you are experiencing labour, you may not have all the answers. But there is no doubt in my mind that it is best to go in with a plan and create an environment that works with you and your body's natural physiology. Key points. Some situations are out of our control, but we can plan to work with them by being educated on the options and possibilities. Understand how birth works, know what you want, and communicate it in a written or visual plan. A birth plan is just that, a plan. It's not written in stone, and you can deviate from it if you want. Have a think about plan A, B, and C. What do you want to do if your plan needs to deviate? Let go of right and wrong as you make decisions. You will do what's best for you and your baby at the time. Preparing for birth. There are lots of things you can do to prepare for birth, from planning how to get to hospital to making sure you have practiced birthing positions. In this section, we will run through the areas that I get asked about the most. Helping your baby into the best position. It might seem early to think about this, but you can start thinking about getting your baby into position weeks before the actual birth. There are some really simple and easy things you can do to help your baby get into the best position for labour and birth. From 34 weeks, ask your midwife what position your baby is in, because your baby's position is a key part of having a quicker and easier labour. Your baby needs to have as much space at the front of your pelvis as possible, so they can face your spine. This is called occiput anterior, meaning the smallest part of your baby's head is coming first, and why labour and birth can be a little easier and shorter. Wherever you sit most, whether at work or at home, pop a cushion underneath your bottom to tilt and raise your pelvis above your knees. Have a cushion in the car too if you drive a lot. Aim to be upright, slightly forward, and have your legs open. This is known as the UFO, upright, forward, open position. All fours is also a good position to help baby gravitate around to the anterior position, although you might want to save that one for at home rather than in the office. Here are some more tips for helping to get your baby into position. Sit on a birthing ball or beanbag if you are watching TV, rather than slouch back on the sofa. You might like to kneel over a beanbag to vary this. When you sit on an upright chair, place your feet flat on the floor and lean forward. Your belly will hang between your knees. If you sit a lot, take regular breaks, get up and move around. Swim on your front, but avoid breaststroke if you have pelvic pain. Instead, you can use a float or hold onto the side of the pool and stretch your legs out behind you. All of these help to prepare you for an active birth and also allow you to experiment with ways that you feel most comfortable when encouraging your baby to get into a good position for birth. For example, in pregnancy, some women have been going onto all fours at home, and they naturally get into this position when they are ready to push. It's like they instinctively know that is how they need to be to help their baby come through their pelvis. If your baby is in the OP position, please don't worry. That doesn't mean your labour is doomed. Most babies turn in labour, especially if you are active. Cheryl Samuels, NHS midwife, says, "Active birth is a combination of exercising during pregnancy, feeling informed and confident throughout antenatal education, and using upright and active positions during birth. Active birth techniques are really empowering for women and help to facilitate a sense of control and promote physiological birth. The evidence suggests that in the first stage of labour, being upright and mobile can reduce the length of labour, the need for a cesarean birth or an epidural, and babies are less likely to be admitted to the neonatal unit. Upright positions used in the second stage of labour can reduce the length of this stage, the need for assisted births and episiotomies, and cause less distress for babies. So get practicing. Feel confident about yourself. You're growing a baby. Move your incredible body, research your options, remember to breathe, and lastly, don't be afraid to take charge. Practice using a birth ball. A birthing ball can help to utilise and create space in your pelvis and encourage your baby to get into the best position for labour and birth. Research shows that birthing balls can also reduce lower back pain in late pregnancy and in labour. Several studies reveal that birthing balls reduce the average length of labour. Interestingly, there is also a link between using a birthing ball and reduction in need for a C-section in first-time mums. Links aren't absolute proof, but they are worth taking note of. Birthing balls encourage pelvic relaxation and rhythmic movement, which can be hard to maintain during labour. This movement activates the right side of the brain and encourages the physical rather than the cerebral. Basically, it helps really take your mind off things because your brain struggles to process both sides of thinking at the same time. Things to try with your ball during labour are 1. Bounce on your ball. 2. Rotate one way, then the other. 3. Stretch out one leg, leaning to one side, then the other. And 4. Kneel with your knees apart and lean over your ball with your arms. To get the most out of using a birthing ball, make sure that you use it regularly in pregnancy from the third trimester and get comfy with it. Try watching TV on it or using it at work. Some of the pregnant midwives I have worked with, who have office-based roles, bring their birthing ball to work and sit on it instead of a chair. This might not be suitable for all workplaces, but it is something to consider, especially if you work from home. What to pack in your labour bag? Whether you are planning a home or hospital birth, you need to pack a labour bag and have it ready by 37 weeks, although some women like to pack it sooner. There are endless lists online with what to pack. Sometimes I read these and think, what the... Ask any second-time mum about the difference between her first and second labour bag. If you end up staying longer than planned, you can always get someone to top you up with clothes, etc. Here is the no-nonsense list of what I'd pack for myself, starting with what you need for your baby, and then what you need for you. Nappies. As these will be on your baby's skin for the best part of 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you may want to consider what product you buy and how this may affect your baby. Each child uses around 8,000 nappies, and regular disposable nappies can take up to 100 years to degrade in landfill or end up in an incinerator. Biodegradable nappies usually have fewer chemicals in them and are made from more natural fibres, which are good for both your baby and better for the environment, although the jury is still out on how well they degrade. Washable nappies are another option. Have a think about what works best for your family and the future environmental impact. There are too many variables for me to give conclusive advice on what is best for every family. Baby wear. You'll need a couple of vests, a couple of baby grows, one bodysuit, and one hat to leave hospital in. Your baby has been in a natural and safe environment in the womb, so if you can, try to opt for organic cotton baby wear for those first 4 weeks, if possible, and pre-wash them in bicarbonate of soda. Rinse well. This is kinder to the skin and helps reduce some unnecessary exposure to chemicals found in clothes manufacturing and washing detergents. Boy or girl, cream or white is best. If you have never had the pleasure of dealing with a poo explosion, you're in for a treat. What comes out of your tiny baby can be rather impressive and get everywhere. You can boil wash cream or white clothing and get the poo stains out, rather than ruin outfit after outfit. Try not for baby wear that fastens down the front, as it's much easier to get on. Muslins. These fabric squares are just brilliant and versatile, from mopping up sick, protecting your shoulder while standing, to a little blanket or wrap. You are guaranteed to make use of a muslin or two. Cotton wool. For the first few days of life, your baby will pass meconium, a type of poo, which is thick, black, and sticky, a bit like Marmite. It can be difficult to clean off. Using baby wipes can strip all important skin barriers, and the cold sensation of a wipe is not pleasant for a newborn. You'll need to keep rubbing the same section of skin to remove the meconium, and this can become very sore for your newborn. Warm water and cotton wool is all you need in those early days. Formula. If you plan to bottle feed your baby, you'll need to take some formula and bottles with you. Otherwise, don't worry about getting formula. Formula milk in most high street shops is manufactured by the same companies. They all need to stick to the same strict guidelines, so the truth of the matter is, they all look different due to marketing and packaging, but they are all very similar. And that's all you really need for your newborn. They don't care how much you have bought them, or what anyone else thinks. They just want as many comforts as possible, usually provided by you, and skin-to-skin contact. Your antenatal notes. Unless your hospital has gone digital, your notes are key. They have got everything we need to know about you, your blood test results, your pregnancy scans, and information about your baby. Hair ties. You want your hair out and away from your face so you can breathe properly and cool down. If you are breastfeeding, tie your hair up so that you can see the attachment properly. It can also be useful to pop a hair tie on the wrist you last fed from, so you don't need to write it down or remember. One less thing to think about. Face cloth. You will probably get a little hot and sweaty during labour. So not only will this help to cool you down, but if you pop a couple of drops of lavender oil on it, it may also help you to feel calmer. After you have had your baby, it will also come in useful for a nice wash. If you have a cesarean section, you may not be up and walking for a little while, so hospital staff can give you a bed bath with your own cloth, or you may prefer to do this yourself. Birthing ball. I recommend you get one if you haven't already. Snacks and drinks. Although there are snacks in most hospitals, you want your own favourite foods with you, so you don't end up with a sandwich that you don't really fancy. Dark chocolate is a useful energy boost. It's not as sickly or sugary as milk chocolate, and it also contains iron, great for both before and after birth. Bring plenty of drinks to keep you hydrated and to keep your sugar levels up. A mix of water and fruit juice is great. Get your partner to pack food for them too. They'll probably be more hungry than you. Hot water bottle or wheat bag. If you get painful periods, you're probably already familiar with this one. Warmth can provide a lovely release and is a real comforter on the lower back, pelvis, in labour. Music. Make a playlist for labour, whether hypnobirthing tracks or pop music. The power of music is phenomenal. Your own pillow. It makes such a difference to have a bit of home comfort with you. Something to birth in and for afterwards. An old nightshirt or long t-shirt is ideal for birthing in, if you're not having a water birth, and take a clean one for afterwards. Buttons are useful to make breastfeeding easier. The amount of times I have walked into a room where the baby is crying as mum's trying to tuck her pyjama top up under her neck whilst attaching her baby to the breast, it's a real nuisance for them. Instead, go for a super soft and comfy nightshirt that unbuttons down the front so you can feed without the hassle of getting your top off or pulling it up and struggling to see. Also, not glamorous, you may want to change your pad while standing, especially after a C-section. Lifting your nightie saves a day. Soft slippers. Even if you don't wear them at home usually, take a pair for hygiene to protect your feet from the hospital floor. Go for the non-slip ones. Toiletries. You'll probably want to have a bath or shower soon after birth. Bring in your regular toiletries and maybe something a little more indulgent, like a luxury hair conditioner. Even if it's just a sample from an expensive luxury brand, you deserve a little extra. Sanitary pads. Not just for after, but for when or if your waters go. There is a lot of fluid and you'll need plenty of pads. You'll bleed quite heavily after birth. Many women are surprised by their blood loss, lochia. So go for the proper thick maternity pads. If you give birth vaginally, you'll be more sensitive. So opt for natural, chlorine and bleach-free pads. Nipple cream. A common reason women stop breastfeeding is because their nipples get too sore. Position and attachment are key, and I'll go through what you need to know about breastfeeding later on. But caring for breastfeeding nipples is also really helpful. Get a natural nipple cream and use it from the first feed. It really helps to protect and heal your nipples early on. You can also use it as a lip balm in labour, which is great when using gas and air. maternity knickers. Go for real Bridget Jones-style big pants, because comfort is key after you've had a baby. Make sure they rise right up above your belly button to support your tummy and avoid any potential wounds. Tenor disposable pants are a good option. Breastfeeding. Your breasts will need support after birth, whether you choose to breastfeed or not. Breastfeeding bras are super comfy as they don't have underwire, so they don't dig in or pose a risk of you developing mastitis, infection usually caused by blocked ducts. They are easy to feed in as you can release one cup at a time. Going home outfit. You might want a change of clothes from the ones you went in with. Stick with your maternity clothes for now, as your body will still be adjusting. I suggest a comfy maternity dress. They take up less room in your bag. You don't need to worry about the fit. You haven't got to think about a matching top to go with your bottoms. They are airy and don't rub anywhere that could be sore, and they are much easier to get on and off. Getting there and back. Have a think about how you plan to get to your place of birth and home again. You'll need to have a safe mode of transport for your baby with you, such as a car seat. Some hospital guidelines recommend that midwives briefly assess your mode of transport to ensure it's safe before you leave. If possible, it will be more comfortable for you to get a lift or taxi home, because you should avoid walking, even if it's just a 10-minute walk shortly after giving birth. Yoga during pregnancy. Scientific research has confirmed that meditation, yoga, breathing techniques, walking in nature, forest bathing, and visualization all help us to counteract the stressed state of being that many of us experience in our lives. Pregnancy is a great place to take stock and think about how you can learn breath control, relaxation, and meditation if you choose. Feeling stressed is an ancient survival strategy to help us to do the fight or flight thing relating to the threat or perceived threat. A perceived threat, physical or mental, has a stress reaction in the body causing a hormonal release or chemicals, adrenaline and cortisol, which in turn causes the breath and heart rate to increase. If you are feeling anxious during your pregnancy or just want some time out for relaxation and stretching, yoga can be really helpful. My mum Julie has been practicing yoga for over 30 years and is a yoga for pregnancy teacher. She has written this section for the book. I recommend you go to a yoga class and try to find one that's yoga for pregnancy. Most teachers advise attending a specialist pregnancy class from 14 to 15 weeks pregnant, as your pregnancy will be well established by that time. And hopefully you will have stopped feeling the nausea and other symptoms most commonly associated with the first trimester. In pregnancy, the advice is to go slow and gentle. Of course, there are times when you need to push yourself a little. You will certainly need to find strength and stamina to call on in labour and birth, so it is good training. But now that you're pregnant and will be turning inward, it's a time to complement your body and work with it in a gentle, nurturing way. If you nurture yourself, you're nurturing your baby at the same time. Even if you have done lots of yoga before, you might want to join a yoga for pregnancy class, especially if it's your first pregnancy. Clearing mental space. As well as learning useful breathing practices, yoga, meditation, and other practices can also teach you about space. There's plenty of space for your baby to grow in your body, and your organs will just be gently nudged out of the way in the process. It also helps to create some mental space, ready for the baby, to clear out old beliefs, unnecessary clutter, and stale energy from your mind. Try this decluttering exercise, as much as you might feel you need to. As you establish a regular practice, it will become easier to release old hurts, irritations, and grudges. You will start to feel generally lighter in yourself and find that you have more headspace. 1. Sit comfortably and quietly, preferably sitting up against a wall with your back straight. 2. Start by closing your eyes and taking a few slow, deep breaths in and out until you feel a little more relaxed. Become aware of any mental clutter that you have accumulated, such as old hurts, grudges, or habitual irritations. 3. Now take your awareness to your out breath. Each time you breathe out, let go. Let go of long-term, stale issues you've been carrying around for a while now. These emotional and mental tensions originate outside of you in the external world. Let it go, breathe out, and let go even more. 4. In this moment, allow yourself to feel lighter, relieved of mental clutter, and feel the extra space in your head. Allow your brain to feel rested, sitting freely in the skull. 5. Take a moment to relax your neck and throat. Let your shoulders drop and feel the weight of any burdens falling away. 6. Enjoy the relaxation. Spend a few minutes sitting or lying, staying in the relaxation and peace, the sense of lightness and space. When you are ready, take your awareness to your breathing again and allow your breath to return to normal. A yoga ball. Possibly one of the best investments you will make will be a yoga ball. Women use these to practice pregnancy yoga and during birthing classes to try labour positions. A yoga ball is a useful prop for you during labour and can help you to feel more confident and in control. Instead of a yoga ball, you can also use a large bean bag. Hip circling. Think belly dancing in slow motion. This is an easy yoga movement that will help release tension as you move. Stay relaxed and keep the movements smooth and rhythmical. 1. Stand with your legs hip-width apart. 2. Circle your hips clockwise slowly, about 5 times. 3. Start with a small circle, increasing the size of the circle with practice. Keep your knees soft and slightly bent. 4. Use a wall to support you if you prefer. Lean forward with folded arms onto the wall. Lean your head onto your hands if you like. 5. Repeat the circles anti-clockwise. Variation. You can also practice circular motions on your yoga ball, which feels really good on your hips and lower back, and you have the soft support of the ball under your perineum. In labour, this circular movement can be soothing and helpful, so practice it often. Simple stretches. Lots of women wonder if it's okay to exercise during pregnancy. The answer is almost always an emphatic yes. Gentle stretching is possible right through your pregnancy and will help to keep you supple and mobile for labour. Stretching during pregnancy can also feel great and can help to release some of the tension you feel from carrying a small person around inside you. 1. Stand next to a table or kitchen worktop and place your hands on it, about shoulder width apart. Lean forward gently until you can feel a gentle stretch in your lower back. 2. You could also try this sitting on your yoga ball, facing the wall and stretching your arms up the wall. 3. In either position, now shrug and circle your shoulders a few times to release any tension there. 4. Now take your arms behind you to stretch the arms, shoulders and front of your chest. Hip opener. As your pregnancy progresses, you can help your hips to open and stretch, ready for labour. Making space for your baby is one of your goals, and these postures will help. Sit with your legs crossed, gently at the ankles. Use cushions to pop under your knees if necessary. 2. Now bring the soles of your feet together and let your knees fall apart. The further away you take your feet from your bottom, the less strenuous this posture will feel. 3. If comfortable, make small butterfly wing movements, bringing your knees gently up and down. Then stop and allow the weight of your knees and gravity to drop your knees lower without any force or strain. The more you work with gravity and relax, the easier it becomes. And 4. Do these movements in sync with the breath. Breathe in as your knees fall away and out as you bring them back together. Spend a few minutes doing this on a daily basis. Squats. Gentle, supported squats are good hip openers and help to prepare you for labour positions. Your perineum is able to relax in a squat too. Check with your midwife in the third trimester if you are okay to continue with squats, depending on your baby's position. Deep squats are not advisable after 34 weeks. Also, anyone with hemorrhoids won't be doing themselves any favours with deep squats, as this could make them worse. 1. With a partner opposite, hold each other by the wrists. Stand with your legs hip-width apart and slowly and carefully squat down until you feel that's enough. You need to communicate well with your partner. 2. As you lower, make sure your bottom is moving back, like you're going to sit on a chair. Check that your knees are always going in the same direction as your feet. You can choose to have your feet pointing forwards or slightly out to the side to protect your knees. Always have them going in the same direction as your feet. Use the out-breath as you gently squat down and breathe in as you return to standing. Don't hold squats for too long. Try to keep them dynamic, moving, coming up and down, smoothly, slowly, and gently. 3. If you want to squat on your own, try using your yoga ball between your back and the wall, and rock or squat gently. Breathe out as you lower and in as you come back up. And 4. Aim for just a few squats at a time, using them to build up strength in your legs and getting used to how low you want to go. Preparing your perineum. This section covers most women's biggest fear, tearing. This section isn't the most glamorous of all, so let's get all the vocab out there that we need to use. Anus, vagina, tearing, floppy fanny, ring of fire, rectum, down there. Midwives have heard it all, so don't be shy to use whatever vocab you want when talking to us about your body. The perineum is the small area of firm skin and muscular tissue between your vagina and anus, and this is where your body makes room for your baby. Something that most women are worried about is tearing the perineum and surrounding area. Don't worry, we are going to go through everything that you can do to help prevent this from happening. Your amazing vagina. Ever seen a penis significantly change shape and size? It's not just penises that can do this. Your vagina and perineum have this amazing changing ability too. Vaginas are especially designed to stretch and change shape as your baby's head comes down through your pelvis. I remember the first few times I saw this happen as a student and being really surprised at how well the vagina and perineum can stretch and open. I had no idea it could do this so well. Relaxing and opening. Your perineum needs to relax so it can stretch, open properly, and perform at its best. If you are squeezing your muscles in any way, then your body isn't able to stretch in the way that it is designed to do so. Opening and tensing do not work well together, and usually tensing wins the battle if you don't know how to relax. Practicing how to relax your entire pelvic floor will give you better results in labour, so here's how. The muscles you would use to stop yourself from peeing are the muscles you need to relax. Try giving them a squeeze now. And relax. Fully allow everything to drop down, including your abdominal muscles. Notice how there is no tension, holding, or squeezing. Your lower half is fully relaxed. This is exactly what you want during birth. You will find that relaxing your mouth and jaw helps too. Let your jaw hang down slightly and move it from side to side. Open up a little wider and now fully yawn. You may hear some little cracks or pops. That's good. We hold a lot of tension in our jaw. Now, let your jaw relax and hang down again. You may notice it feels that little bit softer, more spacious, and easily open. These simple and easy exercises can help to release and relax your perineum too. As internationally known midwife Ina May Gaskin says, floppy face, floppy fanny. Massage your perineum. The other thing that's been proven to really help is perineal massage, because massage helps the connective tissues become as supple and elastic as possible. This is ancient stuff, and women have been doing it globally for generations. But it has only fairly recently become popular in the UK. Research tells us that perineal massage is most successful for first-time mums. If you have a vaginal infection or herpes, it's best to avoid, but check with your midwife as there are exceptions. Also, make sure your nails aren't too long or pointed in shape. Around 34 weeks is a good time to start massaging, and it's best to do it after a nice warm bath or shower when your blood vessels are dilated. Being relaxed and warm makes the perineum a bit softer and more comfortable to touch. The kindest massage oils to use are unscented and organic, like olive oil or grapeseed oil. Avoid oils with chemicals in. 1. Get into a comfortable position. There are lots of positions to try. Try either sitting up with a pillow propped up behind you in bed, on all fours, or in the bath, shower, or on the toilet. Whatever works best for you. Some women ask their partners to do this for them, but most women prefer to do it themselves. It doesn't really matter who does it, just that it's done properly and that you are able to relax throughout. 2. Put one or both of your thumbs a few centimetres inside your vagina in the centre towards the back wall. Relax your other fingers onto your bum cheeks. 3. Press down with your thumbs towards your rectum and then sideways as you breathe out, and fully relax your lower jaw and mouth like we practiced a minute ago. 4. Hold your thumbs in this position for 1 to 2 minutes and continue to breathe. You will begin to feel a slight burning or stretching sensation. It should not be painful. 5. Then massage up and out, creating a U-shape sweeping-like motion. Your aim here is to massage the inside area of your vagina, not just the skin on the outside. You'll probably feel the skin stretching on the outside, but you want to get focused on the massaging and stretching inside. This is similar to the sensation you will get as your baby's head is being born. 6. Relax your perineum as much as possible to get the most out of your massage. Keep breathing and keep your facial muscles relaxed. It shouldn't hurt, and you do need to be gentle too. Remember how stretching and tensing don't work together. And 7. Wash your hands afterwards. Tip. If you have been massaging at least twice a week, you'll get the hang of it and gradually be able to increase the pressure. Your perineum will start to become more elastic. By practicing this at the end of pregnancy, you'll have more control in labour and are less likely to tense up when you start to feel that familiar pressure. Try to implement it into your morning or bedtime routine, so you don't forget. There are products on the market that claim to reduce tears and episiotomies, but as far as I'm aware, there's not enough credible research to support these claims. It is probably best to get to know your perineum yourself, apply your own pressure, and use your own hands. If you don't already know your vagina and perineum well, it is a good idea to get to know them in pregnancy. Warm and stretch. Warm compresses placed on the perineum have been used by midwives with great success over the years. Hannah Darlin, a midwifery legend, was a student midwife in the UK, and she remembers seeing a woman in labour who, although was close to giving birth, seemed scared of letting her baby come out. The supervising midwife, with a lot of experience, quietly got up, left the room, and returned a few minutes later with a bowl of warm water. She put a cloth in the water, wrung it out, and placed it gently on the woman's perineum. The woman's face relaxed noticeably, and she gave birth to her baby. When questioned about what the water was for, the senior midwife answered, "Just soothing the ring of fire, ducky." Hannah went on to undertake the largest trial, known as the warm pack trial. The results showed that warm compresses applied to the perineum during the second stage of labour, when you are pushing and your baby's head is visible, halved the rate of severe perineal trauma by helping the perineum to relax and open, as well as helping with comfort during the birth and the first couple of days afterwards. Her study also found bladder control was far better 3 months following the birth. So many wins for such a simple thing. Thanks to Hannah and her colleagues, perineal warm packs are now accepted as an approved technique to reduce perineal trauma. Most midwives do know about this, but it is worth putting a note in your birth plan to be sure. You don't need to pack your own flannel, as we have sterile pads that we can use in our birth packs. The vaginal muscles and tissues are easily able to stretch when given the best opportunity to and the right environment. You are giving your perineum the best opportunity by working with your body, learning to relax, doing perineal massage in pregnancy, and by keeping it warm in labour. All of these make natural birth that little bit easier. If tearing happens. Tearing is more common with first babies, and a lot of women don't know they have had one. Some won't need stitching because your vagina also has this amazing ability to self-heal. I have seen lots of perineums heal beautifully, all by themselves. If you have a tear that is bleeding or is a little deeper, stitches may be recommended. You'll be offered pain relief for this, and depending on the nature of the tear, either a doctor, usually in theatre, or a midwife can do this for you. Key points. Antenatal yoga classes can help to prepare your body for birth and calm the mind. You can also meet other pregnant women. Your vagina is designed to stretch and open. Work with your vagina's natural abilities by letting go and relaxing down below. Relax your jaw and mouth to relax your perineum. Massage your perineum from 34 weeks. Ask for a warm compress during the second stage of labour. Pelvic floor exercises. Your pelvic floor is a powerful set of muscles, ligaments, and fibrous tissue. They look a bit like a hammock and sit between your tailbone and pubic bone. Your pelvic floor is a big deal because it plays an important role in core stability, bladder, and bowel control and sexual function. Pelvic floor problems affect up to 80% of expectant and new mums. The pelvic floor is under a lot of strain in pregnancy, but the good news is you can strengthen the muscles by doing pelvic floor exercises now. Doing these in pregnancy helps to reduce and avoid stress incontinence after you have had your baby. In an ideal world, all pregnant women would do pelvic floor exercises, even if you're young and don't have stress incontinence, leaking when you wee, cough, or sneeze. Physiotherapist Lizzie Kellaway has got some good advice and easy home exercises you can do to help regain strength in your pelvic floor to prevent incontinence and prolapse later on in life. Here's what she has to say about looking after your pelvic floor. In pregnancy, the pelvic floor muscles are under increasing pressure to support the growing baby. Often, in the later stages of pregnancy, you may start to feel the strain on the pelvic floor muscles. For example, inability to hold on when you need to go to the loo, or having a surprise leak. Postnatally, if these symptoms start to occur or increase, then it's highly likely that your pelvic floor has lost some strength. It is important to take care of the pelvic floor muscles after childbirth, no matter if it was a cesarean section or a vaginal delivery. The best way to do this is to exercise the muscles and allow them time to heal effectively. Sometimes, with larger perineal tears, bladder and bowel symptoms may be more severe, and vaginal or perineal scarring can be uncomfortable, particularly with sex. If this is the case, it is important to see a woman's health physiotherapist at around 6 weeks postnatally. If possible, try to get some help with strenuous activities and try to sit down before lifting heavy objects or holding children. Note: running is not advised before 3 months postnatally, or beyond this if symptoms of pelvic floor problems such as incontinence or prolapse are identified. How to do pelvic floor exercises. The good news is you can do your pelvic floor exercises anywhere, anytime. Just don't do them whilst you're weeing. Initially, it may be easier to do them lying down, and you can then try them sitting or standing. Aim to do these twice a day, not just postnatally, but forever and always. 1. Pull up your muscles from your back passage as if you're stopping yourself from passing wind and weeing. Try not to hold your breath. Squeeze your bottom muscles, inner thigh muscles, and draw in your stomach muscles tightly. 2. See if you can hold your muscles for up to 10 seconds and notice when the muscles let themselves relax. Keep to this length of holding until you can hold for longer. 3. Try and do some quick contractions and see how many you can do, up to 10 times.